Welcome team to this week's coaching session. This week's coaching session is going to be talking about how do you set up a business. One of the big things that we're often asked, and obviously what we're absolutely passionate about, is helping people create their own real estate practice and what it actually takes. Now, I've really broken it down into 13 steps, and I'm just going to quickly, briefly go through 13 steps to getting you into your own business. There are a lot more components to it, but I think in summary form, you'll get a great indication of what really do you need to do to get into a real estate practice. So the first thing you need to know is why. Why do you want your own real estate practice? There's a couple of things that I know that it doesn't matter which type of practice that you actually run, whether you're a business within a business, whether you actually want a shop front, or whether you want a stay at home business, or whether you want an office suite. You've got to, the underlying factor is why you want it. What is it that's driving you to have a business, a real estate practice? And it comes back to your own DNA and your own financial capacity, and that's number two. So number one is why. Find out why you want it. Is it freedom? Is it support that you're looking for? Is it just having your name up in lights? Is it financial? Is it for financial reasons? Find out your why, and that will give you a good indication of whether you should be doing your own business. Number two, once you've discovered your why, financial capacity. What's your financial capacity? Are you a risk taker? Are you all guns blazing? Do you have financial capacity? Do you have financial discipline as well? Are you good with money? Are you not so good with money? So understanding your financial capacity, how much money you have access to, is really, really important in making the decision in going into a real estate practice. So that's number two. Number three is a business plan. And you've often heard business plans are often written on a napkin, and they can be that simple. And the simpler the business plan is, the better it will be making the decision going into a real estate practice. So for example, business plan should be based around your own capacity to generate sales initially, and also whether or not you're able to bring a team with you in starting a business, and what does that team look like, and what can that team produce. So business plan, the first thing you need to be doing is working out how many sales could you self-generate in a business, running your own business. Understanding that you'll be wearing a lot more hats, there's going to be a lot more pressure and time commitments. Can you maintain? So if you're currently a sales agent within a business, and let's just pretend you're able to generate between 30 and 50 sales per year, and I reckon that is the benchmark based on, you know, a minimum $10,000 GCI per sale that you should be considering going into a business. And if you're not at that sort of level, I'd be really seriously considering, is it better being within an office? And if your DNA isn't up to financial stress and risk, than staying within a business, as we love to call them, effective business units, or working in a team. So your business plan should be really, really simple. How many sales can I generate on my own? And can I bring some team members who could actually do some sales, and what sort of revenue that we'll be generating? And apart from that, you also need to know your market capacity. So, and when I say by market capacity is that, to give you an example, I was discussing the opportunity of a business with one prospect of ours, and they said that they wanted to put on a team of 20 sales agents, and they wanted to dominate their marketplace. And the first thing I asked them is, well, how big is your marketplace? How many sales actually have transacted in your marketplace for the last 3 years? And he said it was like 150 sales. It was about 3,000 homes. And I said, well, 20 sales agents are not going to survive in this marketplace. 20 sales agents, I can almost guarantee you, even if you're great and you have a great head start and you get 30% market share, right, 20 sales agents will need to be doing at least 300 to 400 sales to be a viable business. And also, so, and if you're at 30% market share, you want to make sure that your market has got approximately 1,200 sales per annum. So the business plan is really, really important. But again, start small. Just look at yourself as an EBU and what can you do and make sure that obviously the profitability is there. That could be another session in itself. But look, that's number three. Why? Financial capacity, business plan. Number four is trading name. You need a trading name. Now, lots of people use their own name, which is fantastic. Sometimes you go into partnership and, you know, it's John and Smith or John and Co. Real estate, but you need a trading name. Some people select generic names that they want to build a team around them. But again, you need to know what is your real estate business going to look like. And then most importantly, once you have your trading name or you've thought of your trading name, before you decide upon it, make sure you can get the URL. Like if you can't get, for example, if we were dead set on EView Group and EView Real Estate Partners that we first started, if that trading name obviously wasn't available, but more importantly, if the URL eview.com.au wasn't available, we'd have to really reconsider our trading name. The URL is just as important, if not more, it's more important than the trading name. You need to be able to marry the two. So make sure before you decide on a name that you can register your URL. It costs about $30, $40. You can jump on Oz Domains to do that. So number four is trading name and URL. So from there is brand development. What do I mean by brand development? Brand development is all your marketing collateral. Brand development is making a decision. Are you a boutique prestige? Are you a, for lack of a better expression, a supermarket brand to target the majority of the market, not to alienate the market? Are you a low-end discount agency within, and not that I'm condoning discount agencies, but which part of the market do you want to target? You need to understand what type of brand you want to be perceived out there in the marketplace. And is a boutique? Will you have big team members? So understand that you may need some help. So certainly need to get some marketing expertise behind that. And don't think that you know it all. Get some advice. You need to make that investment. And then look at around, one of the best things that we do is we look at what's actually working out there in the marketplace, and whether it's in our own local marketplace, the greater Victoria, Australia-wide, or something that we see on our travels. If we see something that's really, really connecting with us and we like it, is that something that we can bring to the team in regards to brand development? So understand where brand development can obviously help you. Understand that brand development is purely about what your trading name, what your position of your business that you want to be represented out there in the marketplace. Okay, one of the things that's often neglected is company structure. Will you be a sole trader? Will you be a company? Now, understanding that to become your own principal and licensee of a company. Now, I understand you don't have to be licensed, but if you're not licensed, as far, because I know, for example, in Victoria, you can have a licensee or an office in effective control actually operate your company. Not operate your company, be the officer in effective control for the company, and you as an agent's representative can actually own it. Now, we don't recommend that. We highly recommend that if you're committed to this industry and you want to take this path on, get your license. Get committed to obviously going through the process within your particular state. Get licensed. The whole aspect of you being able to get your license and the training that you'll receive from it will be invaluable and get you in preparation, obviously, for setting up your real estate practice. So really understand that. Number seven, believe it or not, once you set up your company, and your company structure should be done with your accountant, and you can use a unit trust. You can be a sole trader, which is not a company, obviously. but it's really important to have that set up correctly and with some particular unit trust to be the most tax advantage to your own personal circumstances. So make sure you see your account in regards to that. So number seven is insurances. You need, once you set up your company structure, you need to get insurances in place. This is before you start trading. It doesn't mean you have to pay for the insurances, but before you start trading, make sure you have your professional indemnity, your public liability, your work cover, all the necessary insurances that you need for your business. It's extremely important. And that's a simple one. Go to your local broker and they can help you with that. Number eight, one of the most, once you've set up your company and you've set up the trading name and you've got your URLs registered, the next thing to do is open up bank accounts. You'll need both general bank accounts for your day-to-day trading, and of course you'll need a statutory sales and or rental trust account. So check with your bank whenever you're opening up the accounts to make sure that you open up the appropriate ones. Once you do that, you also need to appoint an auditor. So step nine is appoint an auditor. We are one of the most regulated industries in Australia, and we need to be compliant with all the relevant acts in every single state. Every single state, there is a requirement that you get all your trust accounts audited and submitted to the relevant authorities within your state. So appointing an auditor, and your auditor should also be an advisor as well. They can actually help you come in and make sure that all your processes that you obviously complete with complete within your business are best practice and following the requirements of each state's legislation. So appoint an auditor, it's really, really important. Okay, number 10. So there's a lot to do, but it's not that daunting either. Number 10 is all your subscriptions. Now, what are subscriptions? Subscriptions are all to your real estate portals, realestate.com, Domain, Real Estate View, all the portals that you need with regard to representing properties out there in the marketplace. They also include RP Data, CoreLogic, and Price Finder for your data searches. There's also ownership data, but they're the main ones. So you've got realestate.com, Domain, Real Estate View, RP Data or Price Finder, the ones that we know of, and the REIV, PDOL. And I really encourage everyone to become members of their REI institutes of their states, whether it's Victoria, Queensland, New South Wales. I think there's some invaluable resources, and it'll also pay them a visit prior to opening just to get some guidance. And they're always running training courses to help you. So subscriptions are really, really important to get those all set up before obviously you launch. Then from there, IT, your own website, emails. Now, there's lots of services providers out there that you can get customized websites specifically for real estate. Emails are really important. Your own IT with regard to internet access. Just the IT stuff that you require. And the beauty about real estate today is that everything is online, from all your CRM systems, from not a specific plug, but you know, Property Tree for your trust accounting software. They're all online, so take advantage of obviously what we've got access to being the World Wide Web and everything being online, so you can be as mobile as possible as well. And your whole infrastructure within your office can be mobile. So for example, when we started 10 years ago, we had to make a $10,000, $15,000 investment on servers, in-house servers, and then cabling and all that infrastructure that was required to connect all the computers to network. You don't need that anymore. you can get online servers for, you know, a few hundred dollars per month on a subscription. So you don't have to make that huge investment in servers. And it's off-site, so there's no ongoing maintenance of that equipment, no upgrading of that maintenance. So things have certainly changed, not only in the real estate business, but for many businesses out there. Okay, so that's number 11. Number 12, human resources. You can't conquer the world alone. So what sort of human resources are you going to need? So when we look at our journey into real estate, in our very first office, it was myself and Maria, but we had a receptionist trained up to take over, obviously, the reception duties, and we were lucky enough to have one salesperson to join us at the time as well. That was our human resources, myself, Maria, one full-time receptionist, and an established sales agent that we were able to interview before we commenced. And that was fantastic. When we started eView, there was four partners in the business and one receptionist. We built on that. You don't have to start with a huge team initially, but we highly recommend that. Who are going to be your human resources? A lot of people leave their current place of employment to start their own business. And I find a lot of teams are doing that, where they say, it's time for me to go out on my own. And they take their assistants and administrators. You've already got those human resources with you. And that's an exciting point to be at. But that's really, really important. And lastly, point 13 is premises. Why is this last? Why are premises last? Well, premises are last is because you can have everything done. Step one, from your why to your business plan to your trading name, your brand development, everything can be done well before you had your premises. So if I give you an example of eView, we took over 6-7 months to plan for eView. We were doing a different model, and it certainly doesn't need to take that much time. And we took an extended 3-month holiday overseas. But we didn't have any premises. We came back from our overseas trip in the middle of 2006, and we did not have any premises, but we had everything set up for the business. We had branding set up. We had our marketing collateral set up, had all our templates set up. We had all our IT set up, our websites, the whole lot. I remember listing our very first home, and actually our website wasn't even up. And we had was a brochure made up, which was actually a competitor's brochure. And we just said our brochure was going to be look very similar to one of our competitors. And the vendor listed their home with us. So you don't so long as you've got the basics in place, your company structure, all your bank accounts in place, your trust accounts, all your compliance, you can start your own real estate business. Now, do you need premises? Well, there's a debate that's going out there in the marketplace, and we've seen successful people run out of home from the boot of their cars. Our big avatar, what we've seen hugely and immensely successful, is the office suite. So that's not a full-blown shop-fronted office, but it's a service environment, extremely low overheads, and that's been a very successful model. And then you get the full-blown office from, you know, the 120 square meters, which has, you know, half a dozen to eight people in, right up to the 1,000 square meter offices. They're the different opportunities out there when you're looking at starting a business. But premises is always last. Unless you find the premises in amongst all that, and you say that will be a great place to operate, you don't have to have the premises before you start all the rest. I highly recommend, if you have any idea, if you've got an inclination to start a real estate practice, start going through these steps. That can be the last thing that you need to do. And then when we talk about premises, we're talking about leases. So you'll need some legal people to look at leases and what they entail. You'll need to look at equipment and fit outs. It's much like building a new home and making sure that you've got all the correct requirements of starting a real estate practice. So that's in a nutshell, guys. You follow those 13 steps and you'll be well on the way of creating a wonderful business, a business that you can call your own, and obviously, hopefully, that you can profit with. Any questions? Again, please leave your comments below. We'd love to get your feedback, love to get your questions, and happy to answer any inquiries that we have. Thank you, guys.